I mean, the more I can relate it to my own life. And that's some of the things we're going to look at, is how it parallels with our life now, because we live in this out and we're growing, but we continue to do so. We continue because we haven't reached the promised land yet. The Exodus story teaches us an important lesson about what it means to be redeemed. We have seen that Israel was free because Elohim made it absolutely clear that all ties to Pharaoh was cut off. And, you know, whenever they left, whenever God redeemed them and took them out of Egypt, all the ties to Pharaoh were cut off because of the Passover lamb. All right? So this is the first parallel that I've seen in this story. Israel, the Passover lamb, they sacrificed the Passover lamb. All ties to Pharaoh was cut off. All right, us. Yeshua was our Passover lamb. All ties to Hasadon was cut off. So we have no more ties to him. Just like the children of Israel had no more ties to Pharaoh, we have no more ties to Satan. Many people make a terrible mistake here. Freedom does not mean, so they were free, just like we were made free. Freedom does not mean without boundaries. In fact, it really means changing masters. This is illustrated in the renewed covenant in the New Testament, the Brit Hadashah scriptures, by the use of certain Greek words when discussing redemption. The Greek words illustrate a familiar scene in ancient Greek marketplace where business was conducted at the slave market. One master would bring his slaves for sale. When he received the right price upon payment of the money, the ransom, the chains of the slave were cut from him and handed over to the new owner. The slave was now the property of the new master. The old one no longer had any rights to him. Same thing with us. Same way. Satan has no rights to him. The only rights he has is what we allow him to have. That's it. We have a new master now. Yeshua HaMashiach. Second parallel. They were not only redeemed by the Passover lamb, but Elohim took them out of that environment. Same thing with us. Whenever we're born again, what's the best thing for us to do? You stay out of the old environments. That's the best thing we can do. Because if not, we're going to fall back into that. But there will come a time where God might allow us to go back in there, and we'll cover that a little further. The first lesson was actually taught by Elohim even before the crossing of the Red Sea. The most natural and quickest way to get to the Promised Land was the northern route along the Mediterranean coast. This is the way of the famous international trade highway. In 1317, the name of this road was, I can't pronounce that, or the way of the land of the Philistines was the name of the road. Back then, the way they named their roads was, you know, if I'm going to Ephesus, the road I get on is the road to Ephesus. It's not like, you know, the main street or you know, named after people. Was actually named after the town, because I was going to Ephesus, I get on the road to Ephesus. Now it's complicated now. Where was I? This important highway was one of the most popular of ancient trade routes, running from Egypt to the points north along the Mediterranean coast and east as it branched off into the Galilee through to Damascus. It was the most obvious way for the Israelites to travel from Egypt to the Promised Land. However, the Lord specifically did not lead Israel in that direction. God told us his reasoning in verse 13:17. I'm gonna go there and read that. I forgot all my stuff at home. Somebody want to find that for me? Tyreek, find that for me. It's not in this Torah portion. Yeah, it is. That's right. Yeah, I seen 14. Go ahead and read it. Where's it at? The first line. All right, I'll read it. Thanks for your help. When Pharaoh let the people go, Elohim did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For Elohim said, lest the people change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt. So, in the face of war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. In other words, if they have traveled along the normal route to the promised land, they would soon encounter hostilities from the Philistines, who live just north of Egypt along the coast, then from the Canaanites themselves. The problem was that Israel had been enslaved all their lives. They were not trained for war, only for building storehouses. It was the wisdom of Elohim that realized that if they went along the most logical route, they would encounter a war with the Philistines or the Canaanites before they were ready to fight. So, I mean, that's the same thing that happens in our life. Well, it should. We should realize that, you know something? I know if I go this way, I'll get there a lot quicker, but for some reason, God has me going this way. I don't know why, and I don't understand it, and that's where our faith comes in. You know, I don't understand why I'm going this way, but I'm going to go this way because even though that looks close, it looks a lot easier, I'm going to follow Yeshua. And again, that's the third parallel. Israel, Elohim didn't take them on the shortest route, the easy route. For us, we shouldn't take shortcuts. There's a reason why the Father is leading you that way. It may not be the most logical way. And that's the thing. We can't try to think, because we'll think ourselves going the wrong way. We'll do it every time. But, you know, God doesn't go off of logic. He don't need logic. You know, he speaks the truth to us. But sometimes he speaks to us in logical terms, so we'll understand. But whenever it comes to trust, I mean, we can't go by our logic. We got to trust him regardless of how easy or how, you know, because a lot of times the way he wants us to go, we're like, man, it doesn't even make sense. Well, it ain't going to make sense to us because we're going off our logic. So we just have to follow him. The fourth parallel, Israel, equipped for battle, but they were not skilled in battle. All right? Because it says whenever they came out, they were equipped. I thought I put that scripture here. Somebody, I'll try to find it. You know where it's at, anybody? So they went out equipped for battle. But just because, you know, it's like us, again, I'll read the parallel that I have. All right, this applies to us. Whenever we're born again, we're redeemed, we're equipped for battle, but we're not skilled for battle. We're equipped. You know, whenever if you're in the military and you're going out to train, you're equipped for battle because you're going to be carrying all that stuff out in the field. So, again, they were equipped for battle, but they wasn't skilled in battle, just like us in our, you know, whenever we're young Christians. You know, we're equipped for battle, but we're not skilled for battle. So, in other words, they had little faith. You know, and how does faith grow? It grows from faith to faith, glory to glory. So it takes time. It doesn't happen overnight. It is the same way. I'll read this since I have it wrote. It is the same way with any redeemed person. There's a war to fight. The time will come to do battle, but we dare not engage in these spiritual battles until Elohim says we are ready. So again, them places that we no longer hang at, there may be a time where God sends us back there, but it's only to be salt and light. That's it. It's not to get entangled with that stuff anymore. And I can promise you, it ain't to keep you there. He's going to put you there for a season, but he's going to get you out of there. And that season may be short, you know, maybe a day. Thus, God led the Israelites on a road that led to the wilderness. This was not just a hazardous track through the wilderness. They traveled along a known and used highway that even had a name to it. Notice, however, that God purposely took them through the wilderness. It seems that this would have been a much more difficult way to travel. Israel was not only unable to fight in battle, they were just plainly not ready for anything. And think about it. As a young believer, I mean, we're just getting born again. We're not ready for anything yet. You know, we're still feeling the excitement of being born again and the emotions of it. Because I remember whenever I was born again for the first time, I mean, I felt something. You know, I heard folks say that, you know, you don't have to feel anything. Well, I felt it. And I think every one of us in here felt it whenever we was born again. Maybe not, but I know I felt it. I felt the difference. I felt the change in my life. They were like children who needed to be taught the lessons of life before they could live as a free and independent nation. A redeemed person has it within him or her to function in obedience to his or her new master. But he also has a flesh which needs to be controlled and a body which needs training and discipline. For the children of Israel, the training period was to be in the wilderness. For us, it is a life as a whole with all its trials and difficulties. When we encounter difficulties in our lives, instead of thinking, what have I done wrong that all these problems may have come upon me, the redeemed person asks, in what area of my flesh, in my life, is the Lord working? You know, he's trying to tell me something. You know, what area? How is he training me for obedience in this trial? The scripture says that even Yeshua, because he lived in a physical body, learned obedience from what he suffered. And that's in Hebrews 5:8. Israel needed that training, and so do we. We need the training. All right, Exodus 13:7. No, that must be, that ought to be wrong. Huh? I think it was 14. I put 13. Let me look at 14. It's the one where he leads them with a pillar by day and by night. Anyway, we just read it. But this is, what's that? Yep. And which one is that? What verse? Oh, I put 7. I'll never find it there. And Yahweh went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them along the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light that they may travel by day and by night. And this is one of the parallels. For Israel, Elohim led them by a pillar of a cloud. For us, Elohim leads us by his Spirit. He leads us by his Spirit. Exodus 14, 19. Let me see if I have this one right. I don't think I do. No. Man, I was on the road. All right, I don't know where this one's at. I put the wrong scripture here for this one, too. But the parallel, it's the scripture. It might be a couple of scriptures where Elohim was leading the children of Israel when they got to the Red Sea. But he seen that the Egyptians was approaching, so the pillar moved and it got in between the children of Israel and the Philistines. Pharaoh, and it says that it lit up the Israelites' camp, but not Pharaoh's camp. So Pharaoh's camp was in the dark. So this is the parallel. He kept them separated, so he kept the clean from the unclean. He kept the leaven out of the lump. Us, we ought to keep the leaven out of our lives because a little leaven leavens the whole lump. See if I got this one right. Exodus 14, 22. Yeah, how about that? And the people of Israel went into the midst of the sea on dry ground, the waters being a wall to them on the right and on the left. So I looked up the word dry, because he says that they were on dry ground. So I looked up the word dry in the original in the Greek. And to my surprise, that's exactly what it meant. It meant dry. So these folks went on dry land. And we're talking about over 600,000 people. That's a lot of people. I mean, this is not no little camp. This is bigger than the population was in Plaquemines Parish before Hurricane Katrina. Right now, we're at 23,000 and something. So, that's a lot of people. That's a lot of people. That's not counting the women and the children. So if you think about it, there's no way if the land wasn't dry, because we've seen places that constantly has water and you remove the water. It's still sticky, it's soft. So imagine that many people gone. There's no way they could have did it, and Elohim knew that. So the seventh parable. There was an outside change, all right? The outside change was the water. The water separating. But there was also an inside change. Inside the ground, there was a change. It was dry. So the second part of the parable, all right, that was Israel. This is us. There was an outside change to us. We stopped doing the things that we used to do. Right? but there also was an inside change. Had to be. Because we can stop doing them things and it doesn't mean anything. We can do good things. There's people who do good deeds all the time, but it was the inside change that made the difference. And that was the same thing with the children of Israel, because if the inside of the ground wasn't changed, there's no way they would have made it. And we're not talking about crossing the Mississippi River. I mean, we're talking about miles here. It's miles. I looked at some of them. The least amount of miles I found, because there's a lot of people say different miles, was 8 miles to cross the Red Sea. That's a lot of miles. We can just put 2 there and say that's a lot of miles. You know? With us, it's not what's on the outside that gives us the ability to walk out our faith, but what took place on the inside. That's what did it. The 8th parallel, Israel crossing through the sea represented their baptism. Us, we have been baptized in Messiah. 9th parallel, the manna from heaven to sustain their life. So it was the manna from heaven, which was the bread, and Yeshua was our bread of life. So that's the parable. The 10th parable. I didn't notice this until, this study that I went through in order to put this together. But Elohim, the children of Israel, this is the 10th parallel. Elohim gave the manna to the children of Israel in the morning. And he gave them the meat in the evening. And it's just like us. Whenever we first wake up in the morning, what's the best thing that we can do? Get some bread. And not the physical stuff. That's good too. But that could wait. But yeah, we should somehow acknowledge the Father. Just like the children, just like he showed them in the, again, this is all a picture, it's all parallels of what we need, what we went through, and where we're headed, and what we're doing now. In the 11th and the last parallel, the wilderness represents a long time away from the distractions until they were strong enough. Until they were strong, until they learned war. They were disciplined. They were taught. And for us today, the wilderness represents a long time away from the distractions until we are strong enough to function without giving into temptation. And that's the only time God's going to send us into something is whenever we're strong enough. So I'm sure there's more parallels in here, but this is the ones that that I wrote down and I took note of. And again, this is my favorite story because I can relate to it so much. I mean, the story of Joseph, the one we just went through, that's an incredible story. But this one here, the more details I see, the more I can relate to it. And this is stuff that we shouldn't forget. And that's why he has us going through this. That's why we should do this, the Torah portion. Go through the cycle once a year because it reminds us. We should never forget, that day we were born again. We should remember that. I remember it. Mine was November 23rd. Day before Thanksgiving, I said, yes, I'm done. I was serious. Because whenever the holidays rolled around, where I was at? I was still coming to church. At any other time, I'd have been gone. But I was serious this time. And I know some of y'all were praying for me. No doubt about it. But something that we should remember is the day we were born again. Exciting day, man. I'll never forget. I was so excited. It was incredible. Anyway, that's all I have. Anybody else has anything? Well, let's pray. Father, I want to thank you.